always linearized.
It's not. There's no sheets on the bed. I'm doing laundry right now.
Nice. What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about March Madness. We're here. It is March 21st. Games tip off today when you're hearing this. This is one of my favorite times of the year. It is basketball galore for four consecutive days to start out the tourney. Round of 64, round of 32. I'm Ralph Campiano. I'm your host. I'm joined as always by my co-host Mike Cerrone, and we're joined by the Popcorn Boys.
Yeah.
Mr. March, Skylar Riesberg, host of the Box Out Boys. If you want to go listen to them and their bracket breakdown and just how terrible it was. I mean, you guys did really hard work for like an hour.
I like the bracket.
But then they get to the end of it and they admitted it themselves. They're like, we have three Big 12 teams in our Final Four. What are we doing? They're like, and it was just a clusterfuck. And then Jack Turner is here as always.
Hello.
Host of Rent Money. Listen to the Players Championship episode.
Look at the shades.
Full swing.
You
always got shades on.
Shades.
You're watching us on YouTube right now. And it's here.
Pinot Noir.
Berg's got a full glass of wine. Turner's six beers deep. Mike and I have adjusted our brackets 150 times up to this point.
Got today, two zins.
Okay, so doubling up on the zins. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about our 10 most exciting players to watch, right, going into the tournament or for the tournament in the round of 64, the 10 guys we're keeping eyes on. At first, when I was thinking about it, I was going to ask you, Berg, like, what guys should I watch for the NBA? Because I know the freshmen that I need to watch. I know the underclassmen. Mm-hmm. But, like, what juniors and seniors do you think you could be role players? So this kind of plays into that a little bit. But who's, like, the one guy in this tournament that you're like, you need to watch?
Mr. March.
Like, he might not be the best player in the country like Zach Edey, like the Naismith guy. But just somebody that jumps off the page. I'm going to watch him on the screen. I'm going to be like, fuck, that's my guy.
I was going to say right off the bat to not watch Zach Edey. I want no part of watching Purdue and their team. I hope they do well. I think they will get over their so-called hump. But the guys that I'm looking at would probably be the probably two higher picks in this upcoming draft here in Colorado's Cody Williams, and then Baylor's Jacoby Walter. Those are two guys that are just – honestly, the thing is, though, they're two freshmen. They're exciting to watch. I'm not saying they're not, but I feel like there's more exciting guys out there. But from a pure NBA draft kind of POV, I feel like those are two guys you'd want to hone in on. They're up there in any mock draft you look at. They're lottery picks. I mean, they're just pure raw talent. They're just going to showcase their athleticism. Cody on Colorado, he's been injured most of the year, so now he's kind of getting his groove back. Colorado's looking a little better. And
so let me pause you for a second, because they're playing right now as we're recording this, Colorado and Boise State. Colorado's up 38-35 with 13 minutes left for the scope. Cody
is
Williams,
he doing awful?
0-4 from the field, 0-1 from 3, 0 points, 1 foul, 1 rebound. That's his stat line so far. And it doesn't look like he's going to play again.
I also have money on Boise State. So.
Yeah, I got money on Colorado. Yeah. So we're on the other
How's
side.
How's our boy Eddie Lampkin doing?
Eddie Lampkin's eating. He's got 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. But nobody wants to listen about a game that they just – like, and we don't know the result of the game. So
everybody wants to hear about Eddie Lampkin.
He's a projected – so this guy that's 0-4 is a projected top 5, top 7 pick. So that's what I'm saying about just – NBA drafts are all about, you know, we see that potential. What archetype can he fit? And, I mean,
he clearly doesn't play well under pressure.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm coming to you.
Is he scared of the moment?
No, but this is the perfect opportunity for this, Berg, because I want to know the guys in March that are actually going to make an impact, like the Shabazz Napiers of the world that are going to be, you know, juniors or seniors and make a real impact. Like, is it the Nebraska kid? Like, I don't know how old he is, but could he
actually?
I don't think he's getting drafted.
No, he's not.
No, here. I got two more guys. Terrence Shannon, I don't know how high he is on the draft boards. Yeah, he's going to light it up. He's a good pick. But if we're still sticking to the NBA thing, let's go to Kentucky. Rod Dillingham, Reed Shepard. Right there, they're going to light it up. They're both going to be fun to watch. They're both going to be lottery picks probably. And, I mean, they're just – it's the old Kentucky, you know. Just you got a cold-ass white boy, and then you got Rod Dillingham who will just make 4 threes in a row. These guys are going to be electric. They're not going to be 0-4 like Cody Williams is tonight. What the hell, dude? How are you going to the NBA missing – Four threes in a row like that.
It's a bad sign.
No, he's only missed one three, but he's 0-for-4 from the field, but he's 0-for-1 from three.
Oh.
But okay. I mean, yeah. All right. So I know the Dillinghams. I know the Shepherds. Mm-hmm. I know these guys because I've been trained to look at them. I don't care about the top picks. I want to know, like, Kevin McCullough, I think, is the perfect example. That guy would probably be like the 28th or 33rd pick in the draft, and I think he's going to be a good role player. So I think. Like, who's the Draymond? Is there a Draymond in this class? Like, Turner, you remember him. At Michigan State, he was, you know, Mr. Triple-Double, great player. He was the 38th pick in the draft. And it was because, like,
NC State.
Is it DJ Burns? Like, I mean, he's just a Kenneth Lofton comp, right? Like, he's just a fat boy that's just going to get buckets down low and not be able to guard a pick and roll. I need to know.
I mean,
like,
this kid.
You're describing, Zach Edey. Like a second round draft pick that's gonna dominate in the tournament. Like, you're just describing Zach Edey, like a college basketball
player. Zach
Edey
goes second round,
but I know who Zach Edey is. Tell me somebody I don't know. Like, you guys watch college basketball all year. Tell me somebody I don't know that you think is actually gonna translate to the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. Give him somebody off the radar.
I don't know how you pronounce his first name. I think it's like Pierre, but it's spelled like Pelé. Larson. He's a Swede. Plays for Arizona. 6'7". But he plays more like a forward for this team, even though he's going to be more of a wing in the NBA. Very crafty, good passer, wide, broad shoulders. Love the way this guy plays. We're going to be talking about our top 10, you know, exciting players. I thought about including him. He is cute. He's a Swede, beautiful looking man.
You like that? Yeah, you like to hear that.
He's somebody I would talk about. And then, you know, close to home, Tucker DeVries. Why not talk about him? He's a guy that, you know, a lot of people might not have on the radar, but has NBA talent, can light it up from all over the floor. He might come up in our most exciting draft later. But those are two guys that I would say are NBA bound. We'll see if they're ever become real NBA contributors, but they're definitely going to be major contributors in March.
Okay. Yeah, those were solid picks. Those are off the radar.
What is it about Lart? Like, what's his – is he a white kid? Because you said he's a Swede.
White kid.
Yeah, he's a European. That.
All right, so we're off to a good start. Give me a comp for him. Is he like a Christian Brown kind of player? Is he?
No.
Not as athletic?
Not as athletic. Christian Brown's like 6'4". He's more like 6'7".
Franz Wagner?
He's kind of like more of like, yeah, that's a good comp. That's a good comp. Either the
blind comp.
Then you got Bogdanoviches. There's two of them, right? So yeah, Boban and Bojan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great comp, honestly. That's exactly who I'd compare him to.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you. All right, so now we're going to do two players each that we want you guys to keep your eyes on. I've only watched, you know, like six teams at least multiple times in the tournament, so my, you know, couple of guys are probably both going to be Duke guys, but I'll try to stay away from Duke guys. But everybody else has come with a couple of guys that they really like. So, Cerrone, go ahead. Talk about your Cinderella. Your fat boy that you've fallen in love with over the last couple of weeks.
All right, let me tell you a little, you know, let me tell you something about a young man out of NC State by the name of DJ Burns. This guy, he could play O-line for the Lions. He could play D-line for the Raiders. Who knows? This big man, I've watched this team, you know, the past like five, six games, just an absolute dog, just a baller. The size, the look of him. I mean, talking about NBA, you know, prospects, you're getting a 300-pound, just big ball of Play-Doh that you can just mold into an absolute beast of like a Zion. The kid plays with heart. He plays with energy. He's a dog, bro. Like, he puts up buckets. The thing with college ball is if you can get offensive rebounds in college, man, you pretty much win the game. You pretty much dominate.
Sure.
This guy's rebounding, and for his size and his look, the guy's got touch. The guy's got these little hook shots, these little floaters. He's obviously powerful. He's going to draw the foul. And then again, obviously my Cinderella for the bracket is NC State. This guy named DJ Horny or Horn, whatever his last name
DJ
is.
Horny.
Just a DJ
it's just Horny.
Horny
now.
Certified bucket.
It sounds like an talk EDM about, DJ.
You're in
DJ Horny. Do.
Yeah, maybe a little Shaq Diesel. A little Shaq Diesel remix. Dude, this NC State team, and you want teams, I know Ralph was talking about how, you know, they just won five games in a row. Are they really going to continue that streak? I'd rather take the team that's hot right now going into the tournament, carrying that momentum. Dude, when they played the championship against UNC, it was insane. This guy could not miss. He shot like 60, 70% from the field. absolute bucket every time UNC made a little run or got a bucket or got a three. This guy answered every single time. Every single time I checked, he's making a jumper. So those two guys,
he shot
75%
from the field. That's insane.
75%. Okay, see, like, I'm not trying to yuck your yum or anything like that, but like, that's because they're playing on the same rims for five games straight. And any shooter knows if you get comfortable on a rim, like my backyard, I had a hoop in my backyard. I could not miss on that rim. I probably shot 75% on that fucking rim. But you go to a different gym and it's a different atmosphere, dude. Like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to yuck it. But I'm just saying, like, that 75% from the field, that is so unsustainable.
He's shooting 75% at home, and they play at home all year long.
Well, yeah, not, dude, like, this I watched that game, dude. This motherfucker didn't miss. Like, this dude was – and, again, I want that guy. I want – that's confidence. That's momentum. That's – the team was playing with heart. They a big upset is always good for a team camaraderie. I just think NC State – is a real good-looking ball club right now. I think they're ready to make a run. I love those two guys. They're playing well together. Yeah, dude, it just I like what I see. And then, again, we're talking about the guy that's playing for Colorado. You got to have guys that show up in the moment. You got to have, like, Pat Mahomes, like fucking, you know, those guys that just – the thing that you can't teach when you're playing against a higher seed or playing a March Madness when – you know, you're down four with 2 minutes left. You need a shot. You need a bucket. I just think those two guys, I love them right now. They're playing well. And I don't know if they have an NBA, you know, prospect or talent, but I love them right now. I think, you know, they can make a run, and that's what I'm so ready to. That's the team. Those are the two guys I'm ready to watch the most. And then that white boy out of Tennessee, but I don't know if we'll talk about him in a little bit, but.
Yeah, Bert, you want to talk about him? You've been talking about him on Box Out Boys pretty much all year. What makes Dalton Kanek so special?
What makes him so special is, well, one, he's got – I love great stories. He's got a great story coming from Northern Colorado, just not being recruited out of high school, all that stuff. You know, your typical nobody to national radar. I mean, this is a guy that was competing against Zach Edey, who everyone had locked up as player of the year. But then people started to notice this guy, and it was like, well, shit, he kind of does the same thing and might be better, but Zach Edey's just so efficient at the rim just down there. That's another conversation. But what's different about this guy is, so Tennessee, we know those teams.
Is he a guard?
He's a guard for them.
Okay.
They haven't had success in the tournament too much. They've always relied on their defense, never had reliable scores. He is that guy. He's the one man on the team. He's like, he is March right there. Everything you think of, skilled guards, they don't have to be white, but just skilled guards playing in the tournament. This man puts in hours upon hours upon hours. His whole life is basketball. He'll do a whole practice with the team. Everybody leaves. He does 1,000 more shots, 1,000 free throws. He's just in the gym constantly.
Is this the truth? This
is the truth. Yeah. I've heard a lot about him. It fascinates me.
That guy sounds fucking awesome.
I mean, it's just a dude committed to winning. Yeah, there's been ups and downs, but I mean, it's a team sport at the end of the day. I think they'll go as far as this guy takes him, Dalton Kanek. He's sick. I think everybody will know him very soon.
I mean, he's been unbelievable this year. So much fun to watch. At what point as a teammate are you like, dude, let's just hit the showers?
What?
I get why you're.
I don't get where you're out from. What do you mean?
Like, another 1,000 shots? Like,
oh, okay,
saying, dude, chill. Yeah. Like, we just did practice.
See, from he just showers with. Them. I mean, he's probably got a pretty good size piece. I'd expect.
Like now, I gotta stick around and like put up 500, so I'm not the first one to leave.
Dude, Turner, come on. You know my favorite Jay-Z song is "Can't Knock the Hustle," dog, because he's not letting anybody knock that hustle. Wait, all right, so answer this for me, because I haven't watched him
Turner
play.
Sounds like a team, like a locker room cancer.
Get in the locker room. Let's just chat it up.
Turner was a locker room goat. We used to shower like long showers after every practice. Me, him, and Adi.
Boy.
It was just us three. Oh no, no. There's no pause necessary, dog. It's boys in a locker room.
Nothing more straight than just a bunch of dudes hanging out in a locker room chopping it up.
Yeah, chopping it up.
Shower in the Marines. You have to shower. I showered with 90 other recruits every day, so it was just. But it's great times in the showers.
See, it'd be just gay. Unless you're
a lot of slippery
that
surfaces.
One guy that had the outlandish interview where he did not like homosexuals.
Oh, that's Tim Hardaway.
Yeah.
Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, he does not like long showers.
Tim Hardaway Jr. or Tim Hardaway, his father? Like, Run his TMC father. Tim Hardaway. Oh, really?
His father. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you got to watch the clip of Tim Hardaway in giving an interview just talking about how much he does not like homosexuals. It's a very bad look.
On Levitard? Like, okay, I might clip it in. That sounds funny. All right, because I remember somebody sending it to the group chat. I can't remember what it was. But all right, let me ask this about Dalton Knecht. Mm-hmm. What's his play style like? Like, is he a Reddit kind of guy that comes off of a bunch of screens and just shoots? Like, is he a catch and shoot player, Berg? Or is he like bringing it up the floor, handling it like a Luka Doncic? Like, what kind of white boy is he?
That's the thing. I think he'll do it all. He's not afraid to work on it.
He's a three level scorer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will he bang on somebody?
He's not going to. I haven't seen him bang on anybody this year. I think the internet would break if that happened, but. He's not gonna like bring home the dunk of the year candidate, but he might bang on somebody. I've never seen him dunk, but I would love to. And I lose.
Oh, you've never seen him.
He
hasn't
got time to bang on anybody when he's got to put up 1,000
shots. He's too busy just shooting threes and then just doing fadeaway jumpers.
Okay, so he's more like, all right, he's more Kennard than he is Luka.
He's more Kyle Singler.
Ooh, now that's a comp for me. Yeah, there. Kyle Singler would bang on somebody, though. Don't sleep on Kyle Singler's bang ability. All right, Turner, who's somebody that's coming to mind for you?
I couldn't tell you who that is.
Wait to watch.
Shit, I was prepared for this. Oh, Terrence Shannon Jr. for Illinois.
I've watched him. I've watched him.
Last 4 games, he's averaging 30 points a game. He's just like, he's your prototypical, can just like get hot and light it up. Love his mid-range jumper. He's twitchy. He's just a stud player. He's your classic college basketball player at this point. He's a transfer. He's probably going to be a top 16 pick this year if I, you know, how to put it in there somewhere. So if you're an NBA guy, you can get excited about that. But, Illinois, they're looking for a run. They haven't been to the Sweet 16 since 2005.
Damn.
It's hard to believe with some of the great players they've had come through there recently. But I think Terrence Shannon's the guy to do it.
Junior, Darren Williams, dog? That's crazy. They've been to the Sweet 16 since then?
You think he's a curse breaker? You think he's going to break the Big Ten championship curse? Last 3 years, no Big Ten champion made it out of the Sweet 16.
You know what? I think he's the guy to do it. He's got the
I agree.
He's got the irrational confidence. I feel like he's going to be a big first weekend guy, you know, where he just takes over the storylines for the first weekend, and then in the Sweet 16, he goes for like 3 for 18. That's kind of his style, which is some of the most fun styles to watch when it's not your team. When it is your team, it's fun to watch, but also like inherently frustrating. But when it's not your team, it's like, oh, I'm just hoping this guy catches fire.
So to make it out of the Sweet 16, they would have to beat Iowa State if they make it to the Sweet 16, right?
Or BYU.
Who is on Iowa State? Like, they're just so good. Do they have like a...
They work together as a team, but Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert.
It's such an Iowa thing.
I know.
It's crazy how Iowa. Iowa's
13-16
just transcends all sports. It goes through football. It goes through basketball. It's just like team. It's like special teams punts. Like, just play as a team. Be nice to refs. Like,
no,
it's
that's Iowa. Iowa and Iowa State are different.
That's right. My bad.
Robert Jones, Reesbury. I had this guy down as probably more of an honorable mention.
Eye roll from Ralph.
We'll save Rob Jones for honorable mentions. Let's talk about Gilbert, actually, because
you
Gilbert.
Like what I
will say quickly, just with the Terrence Shannon Jr. being brought up, I think so. He's putting up 30. What I think is impressive about that is it's not like the other guys aren't scoring. Like Coleman Hawkins Jr. is putting up 15. Mm-hmm. Somebody else is putting up 7. LaMarcus DeMass is putting up 17. Like they're all contributing. I think it's impressive when you have people contributing like that. Like you're still able to get your own, get your buckets. But Keyshawn Gilbert.
Reesburg, I love when there's one junior in the mix. Like, everybody just gets a junior applied to their name, whether they are or not.
All right, one thing on Terrence Shannon Jr. I watched his highlights from the Big Ten tournament. He scored 102 points in 3 games, so 34 points a game, which is awesome. He is like a guy that will bang on somebody. And if you can't tell, I like guys that will take it to the rim and fucking put it on somebody's head. But he's also like, he's pretty crafty around the rim. I love that he's a lefty.
Great friends.
He's smooth. He bangs out from 3-2. Just one of those guys that like plays with attitude. And so, you know, when you get to March, you need characters. And I think that he has the opportunity to be a big time character in this tournament. That's going to be, you know, he has obviously the legal issues that he's had this year. But you know, it's March. It's all about basketball right now. So we can put that kind of stuff to the side and just talk hoops and just appreciate his game. And he's just a light-skinned brother that's out here just making it. So I'm excited to watch him. But can we do Keyshawn Gilbert? Because Lipsy, he's the man. He is, you know, he's kind of Halliburton-ish. I don't know if he has the passing genetics that Halliburton. He definitely doesn't. Obviously like shorter, too.
Did Halliburton kind of fall off?
He has not been very good the last month and a half.
I was looking at that. What happened? Just a quick side.
He's had a hamstring injury, and like people underestimate how bad a hamstring injury can pull somebody, especially a point guard that's playing on the fastest paced team in the entire league by like a large majority. But the thing about Lipsy is my favorite thing about him actually is that he just crashes the boards. Like I think it was in the Houston game where somebody missed a three and he was on the weak side and he just got a put back and won. And I'm like, that dude's like 6'2". That is so fucking badass that he can do that kind of stuff. So we'll group him and Gilbert together because they're kind of – they're not opposite players. But Gilbert is just –
yeah, to a degree.
I think Gilbert is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's like a guy who is very gritty on defense, but he's really like at his best when he's catching on a closeout. He's able to attack that closeout and get to a mid-range pull-up, or he can sidestep to a three, or he can use a ball screen. And he uses your boy Big Rob energy on that ball screen pretty well. So I love that backcourt. I think they're – because like you've talked about on the Box Out Boys, Berg, you need guards in March. And if Iowa State was relying on Rob Jones to get the majority of their points, like if they were like a post-touch team, I just don't think it's going to happen. But because they have those two guys and they're so relentless on the defensive end and then so not effortless, but consistent on the offensive end, especially recently. I don't know about the majority of the season, but at Big 12 tournament, they were recently consistent. That's where, you know, things start to cook.
And that's where you get a little hesitant when you look at a team like Iowa State. You could say this about most teams, but I think it very much applies to Iowa State, Keyshawn Gilbert, and Taman Lipsy in general. They're the offense for the most part. I mean, it's funny that you bring up the Rob Jones thing. I think he's on KenPom rated like our most efficient player because he doesn't play a lot, but when he gets in, like, he just gets it done.
That you guys keep talking about, is this like an analyst?
Yeah, he's a kind of, yeah, he's an analyst. He's just a like smart mathematician who has
he's
a
like
love
the
go-to for math,
college ball guy.
But then he also has a love for college basketball. Yeah, so he put together a website in 2002 and then just has a bunch of stats and people follow it because his formulas
people follow
are pretty
him
right
religiously.
At the end of the day.
He was pretty much the first guy to like ever create like a statistical ranking based off, you know, team efficiencies. The teams are playing, strength of schedule, throw it all into a big mumbo jumbo of stats.
Mm-hmm. I like to see KenPom's bracket.
KenPom ranking. And this guy's always on the nail. Like, really? The KenPom ranking, it'll say, like, this team's worse than what they're seeded, and then they, like, underperform in the tournament.
I bet you KenPom is huge on NC State. Just a wild guess.
Not just huge. Very down. Very down on NC State.
Really? Well, fine. Yeah, Tom, what does he know?
But they are an 11 seed, so I mean, I'm like looking at all the big guys.
Sounds like a nerd to me.
So they're like
it's probably 5'9".
Dude, here you go, Cerrone. KenPom, he's stewing this pot for 36
games. He's balding,
games,
isn't he?
You know, if he was stewing this pot for the last five games, he'd probably love NC State. They'd probably be top of the chain.
Just wait.
I mean, they're not bad. It's just when you look at the top four, NC State's 57 overall, 47 offense.
It's either
going to
be
it's
awesome.
It's not terrible. It's just like, what do you do with that? You know, they're a
it's
balanced
either,
team.
It's either going to be awesome because they're going to make a run, like I said, or they're going to get booted by Texas Tech. It's going to be awesome either way.
And they might.
But
Texas Tech, 3-point favorites.
Hey, Taylor Lipsy, just before we close the book on him, it's only his sophomore year. What's great about Taylor Lipsy is he's from Ames. Iowa State is in Ames, so it's great to see like a hometown kid like that just being phenomenal for his school.
Love to see the hometown kid.
we're going to be really tired of this guy in about 2 to 3 years because he's not going anywhere. Like, he's just staying put at Iowa State.
Yep.
And he doesn't do anything overly flashy, but as Ralph said, just great IQ, great turnover to assist ratio, plays hard D, initiates the offense, already took a major leap from freshman to sophomore year. He could not shoot the three ball at all last year. He is, I wouldn't call him a knockdown shooter, but he's good enough that the defense
can't completely
ignore him anymore from the three-point line. So we're seeing this guy make significant improvements on the court, and he's going to be a guy that's, going to be a star for Iowa State for two more years to come. Probably all Big 12, if I had to guess, for his junior and senior year.
100%. And he hit two big threes at the start of the game against Houston that kind of like got the crowd going. Fun fact, his little sister is engaged to a kid that Devonta used to like essentially like, he didn't live with us, but like he was over like all the time for like three straight summers with JD. He just hooped with us. Devontae Sethers. So shout out DT.
Are you a Mormon family or what's going on there? She can't be older than 20.
No, she is. She's older than Taman. Sorry. Yeah. So she's my bad. Not younger sister, older sister.
Older sister. Got it.
Yeah. She's probably 22, 23, something like that. Amara.
Okay.
But yeah.
Good engaged for her. Shout out the Lipsy family. Good for them.
Taman Lipsy, player comp. TJ McConnell. That's what I got for him. Just very gritty.
Dude, I could talk about TJ McConnell all day. He doesn't take a single three, and he's still somehow like a middle tier backup point guard in the NBA. It defies science and analytics.
It's like gravity and
athleticism. It makes no sense.
It's him and Trey Jones, right? The last of a dying breed. All right, let's do a couple more because I don't know if we're at 10 yet. I don't think we're at 10 quite yet.
Not at all.
Who's like the. Is there like a guaranteed us? Is there like a guaranteed first round, like just number one pick in college? Like, is there a consensus on like who's going number
one? He's not playing college basketball.
Yeah,
it's going to be either Alexander Sarr from France or Ron Holland, who's on the G League Ignite.
Yeah,
God, why? That's kind of sad. It used to be
the G League
is sad. I agree.
Boring, dude. Did you see Wembanyama, his little brother, just won a ship in France?
Mm-hmm.
That's another side note. We'll get back to There's
another Wembanyama coming.
You just got a little horny, didn't you?
I've been watching a lot of Wemby the last few weeks. It's been remarkable.
He's going off.
While we're talking Taylor Lipsy, I got a couple guards I'll call out quickly. One is very similar to Taylor Lipsy in his play style. I'm thinking Jamal Shedd.
Cougars.
He is like a better version of Taylor Lipsy. Lipsy wants to become. And all I ever hear on the broadcasts whenever this team is playing, Houston plays with a lot of grit and toughness. Mm-hmm. And every time they're like, Jamal Shedd, this guy leads the team. He's the one bringing everybody together. He's the one that's, you know, stirring the pot, stirring this Ken Palm stew. And I just have a lot of respect for this guy. He's the man. And then another one, RJ Barrett. I mean, we saw RJ Barrett already make RJ Davis.
RJ Davis.
There we go.
Too many RJs these days. They're all over the place. You got LJ when you're talking Houston, LJ Crier. I mean, RJs, LJs, all the Js. But RJ Davis, this guy can get a bucket. We've seen him make a run into the Final Four. Love the way he plays. Love his style. Pick and roll with him and Baycott's deadly.
Against NC State.
Always fun to watch him play, and I'm excited to see what UNC can do this year with a great bounce back year after not making the tournament last year. You know, that's a year they want to quickly forget. You don't see that many teams go from non-tournament to number one seed, but UNC, Hubie Davis, they turned it around.
Has that ever happened? Championship, don't make the tournament, and then are a one seed again with the same point guard and center?
I think Kentucky or UNC has done it in the last 10 to 15 years.
Sure, but they have new guys coming in. They still had RJ Davis and Amando Baycott last year. Yeah. Like, those were still like, that was a constant.
I feel like the Caleb Love breakup had to happen.
20 years.
Reesburg, what do you know about this drama between Caleb Love and RJ Davis?
I really don't want to. That's a part of college basketball that I don't try to get into. I'm not here for teammates hating each other and like, you know, all this turmoil on a team. What I'm here for is a happy breakup the reason I say that, Ralph, is because we got a blue blood like North Carolina. Obviously, I like to root against them, but there becomes a point where it gets a little sad. And it's like, you guys are so good. How are you guys not even making the tournament this year. A happy breakup. Arizona, Caleb Love, RJ Davis, North Carolina. Now they're both number one seeds to or one and two in the same region. Yeah. But yeah, no, that's what I'm here for. I don't know too much about it, but there had to be something going on in the locker room between them that they just needed to be apart.
But if Duke didn't make the tournament, you'd be doing jumping jacks. You'd be so fucking happy. You'd be rubbing it in my face.
I got a softer spot in my heart for North Carolina. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Hey, Duke. What it
is. I don't trust Duke this year.
For three straight years, then it'd be like year four. I'd be like, you know what? This is a little sad. Let's get Duke back in there. I'd like to see him lose.
I think we're still all getting over our Coach K farewell tour of Duke getting shoved down our throat. And so it still lingers a little bit.
Yeah. That's why USC has a system. Because they took the Devil Reincarnate's graduation tour and shit on it twice, once in Cameron and once in the Final Four. Thank you, Hubert.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do Duke on a bright spot then. Jeremy Roach is a senior. He's our lead guard.
Yep.
Came in the same class as Trevor Keels. Played high school basketball together. Kid's a stud. He's the kind of guy that does show up on the bright lights. He's probably our best pure scorer, like off of the dribble. Filipowski's probably technically the best player. He'll be the highest draft pick in this class from Duke. But then the freshman, you know, Berg loves TikTok boy Jared McCain, Caleb Foster, solid. The most frustrating player on their team is Mark Mitchell. So if you watch him, just know that I'm watching that game and I'm just fucking boiling with anger because he has like the best body that you could possibly ask for, just doesn't know what to do with it. And then they're going to play this guy named Ryan Young way too much when they should just be playing Filipowski at the five.
I like Ryan Young.
I think he comes
in and gives him good minutes.
Duke always has the white guy that I cannot tolerate. I'm, you know me, I love a cold white boy. Like Shire's my favorite college basketball player ever. I loved Singler.
I like cold white guards.
Did Tyler Hero play for Duke?
Kentucky.
Kentucky
Blue.
Yeah, Duke's just always has like a Ryan Young. It's Jack White. It's Joey Baker. It's these guys that I just cannot stand that do not deserve minutes.
You brought up Caleb Foster. Do you know what's going on with him? Is he going to play in the tournament?
Not available for the first game, but if they win the first game, then he should be available for – so they play Vermont in the first game, and then they'll play the winner between Wisconsin and James Madison in the second game. If they play Wisconsin, obviously a, I don't know, rematch, I guess you could say, 9 years later after the national championship in 2015. My thing with Duke is I think of them the same way I think of Kentucky, actually. You know, they're a make-or-break like kind of team. And in the region, I don't think they beat Houston. But if they win those first two games, I think they could beat Houston if they get hot from three. I just don't think like Houston's going to be able – because Houston's defense is predicated on not giving up a three. They're the best closeout team in the country, them and Iowa State. They just – every shot is contested for some reason. It doesn't make sense to me. It's unbelievable. But then Kentucky, on the other hand, it's like you have a guy like Dillingham who could go for 35 in a tournament game. Like, or he could go 0 for 8 from 3 and plays 13 minutes because Calipari's like, I can't trust you.
Ralph, I don't know how much Duke you've watched this year. They don't have a blue chip, you know, top 5 pick.
No, yeah. I've watched probably 15 games.
That's a lot. That's a lot of games. What is their identity? Because I feel like they're still searching for it, and it's March.
Great question. So
they're heavily predicated on pick and roll in their offensive sets. So I guess they're if you're looking for like an identity from like when you're just all right, it's Filipowski. It's like they really go as he goes. If a team can take away Filipowski, you can take away the rest of them because you know McCain's a great shooter, but he's not going to create too much off of the dribble. Roach is I don't want to use the word ball hog, but he's more scoring point guard than he is facilitator. They don't have a true distributor on that team. And so they kind of rely on a constant pick and roll offense to create offense. They don't have a Jamal Shedd. They don't have a Taman Lipsey. They don't have a guy that can set people up and get each other open. I think that's why that Paolo team was so successful because they essentially had Wendell Moore playing point guard. He'd been there for 3 years and he realized I'm not a scorer. I'm a guy who guards and I'm a guy who distributes. And they just don't have that kind of guy, which I think is really critical. Like, if you look at like the last, like DeJuan Harris for Kansas is the perfect setup guy. RJ Davis is more of a scoring guard, but he at least can pass. Roach does not want to pass. He wants to score that fucking ball.
Yeah, I think I've seen RJ have to take a step back in different situations and learn a little bit from that. But I will say, I mean, Filipowski, he's a really good player. I like watching him play.
He kind of sucks at defense. But we kind of suck at defense as a whole.
Against against Tennessee, you saw what happens when you kind of just like put him up against a mauler, like Plavchik, right?
Yeah.
Who was just kind of playing dirty, I would say, but like,
oh yeah, we were getting beaten up on. Fuck up that game. Yeah.
And I can see Houston just kind of doing the same thing against Duke in that Sweet 16 game. If they do match up, they just kind of beat up on them.
Yeah, I mean, I would pick Houston in that game if I had money on it, but I'm going to root for Duke, obviously. But
yeah,
that's kind of what I worry about with them is, you know, you get all these one-and-done guys, and I don't know.
This team has less one-and-done guys.
Sure, but I don't know. Like, Filipowski, he's kind of a pussy. And if your best player is kind of a pussy, then that rubs off on everybody else. So,
yeah, leader.
It sucks. But all right, we got a couple more guys we can rattle off here. Can we talk about the Japanese Steph Curry, the guy who literally refers to himself as Japanese Curry?
Tell me about. I've seen a couple of tidbits of this guy. Give me the down low. Is he really that wet?
What's his name?
So his name's Kasai Tominaga.
Okay.
And it took me so long to get that. You get an etch in your brain at one point.
It clicked. You just rattled it off.
It's a little harder, you know, coming from somebody just born and raised in America. But we got the Japanese Steph Curry out here. His game is he's like the Caitlin Clark version of men's college basketball. He'll pull up from the logo and he'll make it if he's hot.
Wow, that's crazy. And that's his whole game. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really all there is to say about it. Yeah, he's a good distributor. He's good. He's like decent at every other area of basketball. But his thing is, if he's hot, he's just gonna pull up on you and make a three. And that's what it is. He'll just keep dropping.
I originally saw him like 3 months ago. I thought he was like a ball boy. I don't know if I was like you know, like racist brain turned on, but I was just like, I was like, what is happening? Like, this dude's just fucking chucking and he's drilling everything. And his team was like so excited. So I'm like, oh, it's their ball boy. That's adorable. And it turns out, yeah, he averages like 15 points per game for them. And he's just a wish kid. Yeah. I was like, oh shit. All right. We got a Japanese.
What team does he play for again?
He plays for Nebraska. Nebraska.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is so weird.
He averaged 13 a game last year. I mean, Fred's been known to recruit out of a lot of different corners, a lot of different personalities. Yeah. What makes him exciting isn't, you know, the 15 points a game, as Reesburg says, how he does it. It's like it'll come in a flurry, and when it happens, and Nebraska is one of the best teams at home this year, honestly pretty mid away from home, but this guy just feeds off the crowd, and the crowd feeds off him. He's just really hyping him up, you know, taking those deep threes, and like you said, Ralph, I mean, he doesn't look like your, you know, typical D1 basketball player for Nebraska. That's for sure. So it's exciting, you know?
Okay. I'm trying to think of, you know, we have UConn.
Yeah. And I was going to ask about
heavy UConn's favorites.
Very quietly. Yeah.
Like they are plus like 350 to win the entire tournament. And like the second greatest odds are Houston at like plus 800 right now. So I know Klingon. I know Newton. Is there anybody else on that team that I'm missing that is going to be like X factor, bucket getter, something along those lines? Like, because I mean, you know, they don't have Sanogo. They don't have Hawkins. I didn't know Hawkins going to the tournament last year. And then I turned on UConn and I'm like, holy fuck, this guy's light skinned JJ Redick. Like, this is unbelievable. He's coming up with pin down screens. He's 1-2-1. He's dropping everything. Like, the kid looked like he could shoot like 9 for 13 from three in a game, and he probably did, if I'm not remembering correctly. But like, who does UConn have this year outside of like those top two dudes? Mm-hmm. You know, the most outstanding player in the Big East tournament, Newton, and then Klingon, who is a fucking monster.
Yeah. So the guy you'll probably like the most, just because he's, I mean, he'll probably go to the NBA over these next two guys I named, but Stephen Castle.
Oh, really?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, I think he's more of a one and done. He could come back, but it sounded like he's going to go to the league right now. I mean, I don't know much about him. I don't know much about him. I just cannot stop hearing about this guy. But if we're going to talk about actually somebody who, you know, NBA aside, Cam Spencer.
Yeah, there you go.
Rutgers. Just an absolute man. I mean, it was like the Big East player of the year was between Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer, essentially, like two guys on Kentucky. Absolutely insane. You got Donovan. Cam Spencer is just a pull-up three guy. He's going to get some offense flowing for you. And then you got Donovan Klingon's little bro, little style Alex Caravan. I mean, he's just like not Donovan Klingon 2.0, but like he'll go in there, he'll be in there with them, and the whole team just
yeah.
Ooh, they're all going to the NBA. They're all crazy. White kid?
He's yeah, that's boy. The white guy. Cam Spencer's damn near 50-40-90, averaging 15 points a game on 10 shot attempts. I mean, it's not super exciting to name stats, but like this guy is so efficient.
But he's got that dog in him.
He's got fucking perfect, love that like, kid.
Perfect wings guard, you know, player that fits this. That's why this team is such a heavy favorites, is because they have all the pieces. You know, literally. They have the rim protector, they have the wings, they have the guards. And they all just fit and mesh together to, you know, create this perfect puzzle, you know? Yeah.
And then even guys coming off the bench, Hassan Diarra for them, like their whole team you can name because they all just have key contributing moments for them. If somebody's cold, there is always, always, always somebody else hot and on. So like they always look out for each other. They kind of they played together long enough. They have this chemistry under Dan Hurley where it's just play for the guy next to you. And yeah, they're just fucking.
They're in the same region as Iowa State, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So fucked. Who do you think they beat Iowa State?
I don't think Iowa State makes it that far. I think it'd be impressive if they won again. Very impressive.
I'm just so impressed at Iowa State smacking Houston. I don't know if that's just blinding me, but.
Well, anyway, right, so you guys didn't talk about it on the Box Out Boys. It was impressive. There is no understating the fact that they beat, you know, the maybe number one, maybe number two team in the country, right, in Houston.
It was a dragging.
You guys neglected to mention on the pod, and you guys are supportive of this, is that Kansas City is where that tournament is played. That sea of red that you saw at that game was Iowa State fans. That was essentially a home game for Iowa State. They literally called Kansas City Hilton South. Like Hilton Coliseum is the stadium in Ames that they play at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can
Iowa
hold
State
that
fans
against
get
them.
Up for it. You can't hold it against them. We historically since Fred Hoiberg in like 2014, we've had a pretty good run in the Big 12 championship. And after that, it's kind of it's not been pretty. Under Otzelberger, we had one Sweet 16 run, and then one we bowed out to an ACC Pittsburgh last year. You know, first round 11-6 game. But yeah, that's why I agree with what you're saying, Ralph. Is I don't put too much stock in winning the Big 12 championship, destroying Houston like that, because I know these teams are just going to reset. And it's going to be completely different competition, not teams you've been playing. You know the X and O's about all these teams. It's a team you got to prepare for. You got a week to prepare for it.
Because in the tournament, it's like, I know the games are in Omaha. I get that. And, you know, that's great. The first two
and
are.
I think they will travel well.
Sure. But, like, once you get to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, you're changing gyms. You're going to a whole different city, right? And then at that point, once it gets to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight, it's just, you know, they don't have to be basketball fans. People just want to go see March Madness, so they'll go and they'll have no rooting interest. So it really is neutral courts.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's no such thing as home court, even like in the Super Bowl or something like that. But no, I mean I'm really excited. This is, you know, it's just one of the best times of the year, and this is the opportunity for a lot of young kids to get their moment. I think that's the most exciting thing about like the regular season. It's about coaches, right? Like we talk about Danny Hurley, we talk about Calipari, but the tournament is determined by the players. Like, I don't remember like a Danny Hurley moment from last year until like the postgame speech. Like, that's about it. But like, I don't remember any coaches' moments. And I know, well, actually, let me ask you this, Berg, before we kind of move on. Michigan State, you know, people say January, February, Izzo. Their point guard, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Do you have familiarity with that kid? Because he's not ringing a bell right now, but I watched him play and
it's Tyson Walker, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. Let me double check.
It's either Tyson Walker or AJ Hogard, but I think AJ Hogard's just a wing. So I really like Tyson Walker. I like the Michigan State team. They just have not impressed me at all this year. They played really close games and I don't think they're as bad as everyone says. The metrics, obviously, not obviously, the metrics love them, but just everything I've seen out of this Michigan State team, the two inconsistent, sure, it is March, So I'll probably eat my words, and Izzo will go on another run again this year, just like last year.
Yeah.
But they're not an impressive team. They're less impressive than they were last year.
Yeah, it's Tyson Walker. Good call. Way to pull that out.
Like, they're good. When you on paper, when you look at that team, Tyson Walker, AJ Hogarth, they're 4-year guys. You know, they've been there. They know the system. They know Izzo. There's just literally that's absolutely insane. And you know, they say look at the preseason when you're making your bracket. It's correlation, but dude,
really?
I'm out on this.
I couldn't tell.
No, they actually do. I've been in the blender of all March Madness information.
And Palmer?
Yeah, it says, you know, because it's just telling you, like, they have a good – he didn't say that, but if you look at the preseason, it tells you, hey, this – like, they have a good roster. On paper, these are good guys. And then it just doesn't work out during the season. I'm out on Michigan State. Yeah.
All right.
They just haven't played to the level they should.
Couple of big
East guards. But I really do like Tyson Walker.
On the guards note, a couple of Big East guards to keep an eye out for. Obviously, Tyler Kolek. Last year's Big East player of the year. Coming off
that pectoral injury or oblique injury.
Yeah, something like that. But didn't play in the Big East tournament, so he's going to be back in
action. Also didn't play the last three games.
And shout out your boy Nemhard, Aaron Nemhard's little brother that plays for Creighton. I saw he had like five games.
No, he plays for Zaga now.
Oh, he plays for Gonzaga now.
Yeah, I don't know why he transferred.
Because his brother's from there. So he mixed it up. Ooh, I like that.
I don't know why you go from a team that went to the Elite Eight last year or the final – or no, Elite Eight, a point away from going to the Final Four, and you're like, I'm going to go to Zaga. And when everybody else stayed.
NIL money.
Yeah, I'm upset about it because I love them at Creighton. You don't see him as much as Zaga, but yeah, definitely the man. He looks sick as fuck. His hair is – he's a cool guy.
All right, before we get out of here, you know, our popcorn pick for this weekend is pretty obvious. It's just going to be more college basketball. So we don't have a ton of time.
Are we not doing Spitter Swallow? I was going to say, we have a lot to do. Okay,
We still have Spitter Swallow to do, but we got to do them quick. Okay, so.
We got a lot to do.
Let's get right to it. All right, our popcorn pick for this weekend, collectively, I'm going to speak for all of us, it's college basketball. All right, watch March Madness, True TV, TBS, TNT, you name it.
Shameless plug, if you're not, you know, watching college basketball and you find yourself with some free time, go ahead and log into your Netflix. Maybe it's your dad's, maybe it's your cousin's. Watch Full Swing, and when you're done watching Full Swing, go and check out Rent Money's latest episode. Do a full season recap of Full Swing. We dive into every episode. We're joined by a special dear friend that comes in and helps us break it down. So in your free time, you know, that's a pod that's timeless, right? You know, Full Swing's not going anywhere. You find yourself, you know, hankering for some golf content in between the basketball games. Go ahead and watch Full Swing and then check out Rent Money.
You can listen to it on Monday, even if you want to, because like Turner said, that's evergreen content. That's what we're pushing over here on the Pop Off Pod. All right, let's do Spitter Swallow. Cerrone, what are you swallowing?
I'm swallowing. Okay, yeah, I'll do this instead of the popcorn. I don't know. This is actually a good one. I don't know if you guys, especially Ralph, have had the chance to listen to it yet. I got the chance to sit down and listen to the full episode. This Mind the Game with LeBron and J.J. Redick, man, I know there's a lot of hype behind it, and you know it created a little bit of a splash a couple days ago. I got the chance to sit down and listen to the full episode. This is crazy. They're talking about coaching. They're talking about not only the X's and the O's. They're talking about I didn't know free agency in the NBA started like in 1990. Like crazy shit. I've never learned more about basketball than that 1-hour, 2-hour episode. Dude, I'm swallowing Minor Game, and JJ and LeBron, it's so cool to hear LeBron talk about, in-game stuff like that, he's talking about when they played the Clippers like 2 days ago and the comeback and how he's doing this, how he's doing that, how he's running the same plays that worked and hitting D-Lo. Insane. If you guys haven't listened to that, have you got the chance to listen to it through and through, Ralph?
Yeah, it. I've okay. almost watched it twice.
Bro, it blew because I went into it kind of thinking because there was like the viral clip of the little like X and O thing that we're talking yep. about.
America's
that's
play.
Almost like the worst. That's almost like the worst part of it.
Oh, I love that
and dude,
part.
JJ, but like there's so much more. Like JJ mm. and LeBron play off each other so well. It reminds me of us playing off each other. And it's also I love like LeBron's got a good voice. Nice, calm, cool, collective. It's so cool to hear him talk about just the ins and outs, his life, his coaches, his first year in the league, how it's different, what he likes about the game, what he hates about the game now. Yeah, dude, it was a hell of a – I can't wait for the other episodes. And the cool thing, too, is you know damn well LeBron and JJ can get anybody in the world mm-hmm. on that pod. I bet they get MJ. I bet they get just these all-star names. I would love to have them sit down with Curry, talk about the 3-1. You know, they come from just hell of a fucking – shout out to them. It was – like the hype was very high, and I think it exceeded that, which was crazy. But, yeah, I'm swallowing that. It's hell of a fucking pod.
That's a perfect listen swallow.
For sure.
It's,
there's only one episode out right now, correct. Right?
Just one. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, so it's one, it's the person and the reason that I liked basketball because, you know, LeBron's been playing for, everybody says he's been playing for 20 years. I essentially say he's been playing for my entire life. Like Turner, we were in kindergarten when he started playing basketball, and I became Literally. A basketball fan because of that man. I became a Duke fan because of JJ Redick, and those two came together and made podcasts together. But my favorite moment was, so I've been really deep on like X's and O's in basketball right now because our season just started for the spring and summer. And we're trying to like change some philosophies for our seventh grade group because these guys they're growing up a little bit. But it's not even just plays. It's actually just like defensive philosophies and stuff like that. So I actually watched a breakdown of Baylor's 2021 defense for like 25 minutes last night. And it was just so exciting. But the fact that like, you know, like there's so many hot take artists out there. And, you know, that's what people want. That's the ecosystem that we live in. They want to hear Jordan versus LeBron debates. This show is not that. This show is like LeBron mm-hmm. talking about JJ Redick. No, Turner. They're literally talking about. So
how many episodes has it been?
It's been one episode so far, but you can tell at the beginning of the episode. So there's a thesis statement that like JJ has, and he's like, we want to celebrate the game or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's kind of corny, but they actually lived up to it. So they're talking about JJ's play style as a shooter, right? His role in the NBA was a shooter, and he would come off of this action for the Clippers all the time, just an easy pin down screen from DeAndre Jordan. And when your guard is tailing you and following you around that screen, if the big who's guarding DeAndre Jordan is in drop coverage, JJ had two options. One, he could shoot it, or one, if they're the guy who passed to him, usually Chris Paul, if his man stunted towards him, he would kick back to Chris Paul for an open three. Or if the big came up off of the screen, then he would drop a pocket pass to DeAndre Jordan. And they just talked about that for like 4 minutes. And I'm just watching it, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I talk about this with my coaches all the time. We're seventh grade basketball coaches. We're high school basketball coaches. Like, we know basketball, but this is literally the greatest player of all time and one of the greatest shooters of all time who've been in the NBA, the height of basketball.
It's cool.
For one, I think JJ played for 16 years and then LeBron's played for 20 years. And like, just the achievements that they've had, it's like, oh wow. Like, they talk about the same stuff that I do. This is really, really cool. So it made me feel special, but it also just taught me a lot. And anytime I can watch basketball content that teaches me something, I'm just like, God, this is brilliant, man. Like, it's just way better than seeing Shannon Sharpe and fucking
that's gonna be like
Mad Dog
for you, Ralph.
And Stephen A. Smith. And even JJ Redick, when he's on First Take, he has to do that stuff. He's like, who's better, Jason Tatum or Luka? It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, talk about basketball. Quit talking about narratives.
I'll
stupid
also say
shit
this,
like that.
Too. In an era of every goddamn retired athlete starting a podcast, this just blew just everybody. No one's gonna listen to anything.
Paul George, Draymond.
Awesome.
The only unfortunate.
Turn off this podcast. Go listen to that one.
Honestly,
well, this is first. You know, you need to get Popcorn Boys in first.
Yeah,
but you know, when you're bored, yeah, it was a fun listen. I think anything with LeBron talking that much, and they love each other. Like,
yeah,
they're kind of like boys. Like, it's a very, like, yin and yang. Like, you got, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool. It's cool to listen.
Dude, it's a shame they never played with each other. Because, like, LeBron just, like, brought the most out of Kyle Korver. Like, he always gets the most out of, like, those shooting white guards. Like, he just loves those guys. I wish he would play with JJ.
Yeah.
All right, enough of sucking LeBron's dick, because I could do that all night. Pause. Turner, what's your swallow?
Yeah, I don't know if this fits perfectly into the swallow category, but I'm just going to swallow gambling addictions. Today, there was some big news coming out of baseball.
0-4 for me.
Shohei Ohtani's, you know, his translator is in some hot water. Apparently,
oh, yeah,
you know,
what was this?
So Shohei was caught sending multiple millions of dollars to a bookie, more or less.
Yeah, just like
that. You know, a lot of details have come out. This is pretty early, a lot of speculation. So, you know, everything I'm saying, take it with a grain of salt. This is kind of, you know, what the internet's saying. It's not necessarily.
You heard it here first.
And it turns out, you know, apparently it was Shohei's translator that was, you know, swindling him, scheming him up, stealing his money, had a gambling problem. It seems more like maybe Shohei had a gambling problem. This guy's taking the fall. At least that's what the internet sleuths are saying at this point in time. We'll see what comes out of this. But all I did, I sat back and I said, God damn it, gambling, you know, you see it all the time on TV. It's taking over the world. Shohei can't help himself. MJ can't help himself. If you're a rich, famous, competitive man, you're probably going to be targeted as a future gambling addict. These guys that are all, you know, on the court. We saw it this year, too, with the whole Iowa football team, Iowa State football team. And it's not going away anytime soon. It's going to just continue to come up in different forums and different situations, whether it's college athletes, professional athletes, people that are close to you, to them, you know. I mean, you can gamble on the NBA draft, right? I wish I had a fucking friend that worked in the front office of every team. I could make a lot of money real quick. But, yeah, so we're just going to swallow gambling addiction, gambling in the public forum, the narratives around gambling. It's here to stay, and it's only going to keep churning out more content and controversy in the next 5 years. So it'll be an interesting path, and we'll see how it all plays out.
And Shohei, just bet on yourself.
Iowa State players were acquitted, by the way.
Yeah,
no charges. All good.
Completely illegal. The whole thing the state was doing, that, I mean, Ralph talks about sucking dick for a whole night. I could go into a whole thesis about the Iowa State college gambling scandal, but it probably wouldn't be as entertaining a content as Ralph.
Wait, I feel like you didn't understand what I said. They were acquitted. The charges were all dropped. So they were totally gambling, but I'm just saying.
Biden.
Yeah, the charges were dropped. The entire Iowa justice system was doing illegal tapping and illegal investigation. Yeah,
I didn't know you had the facts.
That was the whole.
Turner's prepared.
Turner's tipsy too. I love Turner's tipsy voice.
You think a guy with six beers and
a lot of money,
with hair like that, isn't prepared?
Come on, dude. You've been prepared.
Oh, man.
A1 since day one.
I didn't know what I was going to swallow today, but it is just like, it's crazy. And I was bitching about this to one of my roommates. He was half listening. And, you know, I pointed at the TV. I'm like, there's a FanDuel commercial on right now. What are the odds? They're 24/7.
What are the odds? He's like plus 200 right now.
I'm one Boise State bet away from fucking calling 1-800 that gambling addiction number.
Yep, suck it. I won money on Colorado.
Should I just call that number live on the pod and be like, who do you guys got tomorrow?
Yeah, that actually should be a segment. I'd be asking for picks. What happens if you do call it? Do they actually provide
you guys? Got NC State tomorrow? No, and then I just want to know what you got.
They give you a promo code, like bet 365. Like one that you haven't used yet.
You know, man, how'd you get some free play?
Here's a gambling therapist. Cool you get a discount with bet 365.
I was so hot too. I thought I was gonna pile up for tomorrow.
All right, well, let's get back to I'll swallow another basketball thing. I'm going to swallow Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man.
That's funny. That's what I was going to swallow.
Great minds think alike, baby. He's been on a fucking tear recently. Everybody saw the dunk. The dunk was miraculous. But they played the Nuggets 2 nights ago when people are listening to this. And without Naz Reid, without Karl Anthony Towns, without Rudy Gobert, they only lost by two. Nuggets looked amazing.
A lot of Garza.
Jokic is the best player in the world. But I think Anthony Edwards is quickly ascending the ranks of best guard in the world. I think he's coming up on that because of the defensive ability. But offensively, I want to swallow one specific thing about him. And this could be a video. We'll see. But so he's gotten to the fadeaway a ton this year, right? And everybody knows the Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant fadeaway, you know, over the left shoulder, over the right shoulder. Any person that's ever seen an NBA highlight of Michael Jordan has seen the fadeaway. All right. Now, very famous counter. I had a coach tell me one time, every move that you have should have a counter move, right? Anthony Edwards has developed a counter move to that, which is very common for the fadeaway. It's a fake fade, defender jumps, and then you step through. So you keep that same pivot foot that you're about to fade off of, and then you step through towards the rim. Turner's used before. Anybody that's hooped before at a high level, hopefully should have used it once, all right? Now he is doing it at another level, okay? So he's faking the fade, and then he's stepping through, and he's giving...
Can you just compare me to Ant Edwards?
A little bit.
Yeah. That's what I'm still...
Just take it.
That.
Just take it, all right? He's stepping through, and he's pump faking again on the step through for the help defender, and then going up and finishing. So it's like three pivots. It's insane, and I've never seen anybody do that. And, you know, when he came into the league, I thought he was just going to be this.
He did it last night against the Nuggets.
Did it like three times in the first half. Yes, exactly. So that's exactly what I'm talking about.
You would think he'd almost throw it off the board to himself after the fake pivot.
Oh, dude, and I'm sure he will sometime.
Or the second fake pivot.
Right, like I'm sure he will, because I thought when he came into the league that he was just going to be like this ignorant, crazy athlete that was just going to like dunk and like that was about it. I thought he was going to be like a 15-point-per-game scorer. I thought he was just going to out-athlete everybody. Now he's starting to outthink people, and he's 22 years old. So the fact that he's getting to this level, like I've never seen anybody do that step through fake except for Kobe. And it's like, oh, shit, he's taking the game really seriously. He's crazy competitive. Like, it's the second quarter of a regular season game in March when March Madness is going on. And they're playing the Nuggets at home. And it's like a lot of athletes would be like, you know what? Like, I'll give it 80, 90%. He's going 120% the whole time. Second quarter, you know, he goes on like an 8-0 run. Nuggets call a timeout. And he's flexing and yelling and pumping the crowd up. I'm like, dude, this guy is fucking – he's like Russell Crowe and Gladiator. I'm like obsessed with him. So – I was wondering who's going to be my favorite player like after LeBron retires. It's him by a mile. He's so fun to watch. It's him and B.I.
I'll just add my little 2 cents because I was going to swallow Anthony Edwards too. Dude, at the state of the NBA, like kind of, I mean, listen, I know you guys are, or especially Ralph, but it was kind of on a little bit of a downfall just with like excitement and just players. If everybody, because this was going to be my swallow, if everybody played like Anthony Edwards plays, the NBA would be a such better product. Exactly what you were saying, a random night against the Nuggets with no half his team, just absolute giving 100%. That's just my 2 cents, man. NBA should see him, be like, bro, like this guy, yeah, just give it everything you got, bro. If everybody played like him every night, NBA would be such a better product. That's all I got
to
say.
It's refreshing, and you see the fans gravitating to it, like all over. Like he's got unanimous approval right now. His Q score is through the roof,
and he's fucked up like 3 times. Like he's had some slurs, and they got busted on Twitter. He had the abortion scandal earlier this year, and like people in Minneapolis don't care. They're like, that's our guy. Like they just
winning cures everything.
At the same time, Cerrone, like I totally get that. Like, yeah, the regular season, like it, like people don't pay attention to the regular season. It is what it is. But April, May, and June, people care as much as him. But I don't think they care as much as him, and that's what separates.
Yeah,
it's like it's the same thing with Jordan. It's the same thing with LeBron. It's the same thing with Kobe. Some guys just care more, and that's that. Like we have a kid on our team who I know just cares more than other people. He's not even my best player, but like he plays. Literally, like, I can't take him off the court because he cares more than anybody else.
Yeah.
He's my smallest player.
We talk about football all the time. A lot of times you can just tell right away just, like, who simply just cares. And, yeah, dude, that guy fucking – yeah, he gives his fucking all every night. And, yeah, fires me up. Should be an inspiration.
He's the man.
I have to start watching some Wolves game. Jesus, I'm not an NBA guy, but after that speech, how can you not?
If you're going to watch any team, watch the Wolves. They're first in the West right now, right?
I will do a big-time NBA pod, like, once March Madness is over, just kind of updating everybody on, like, what teams to watch. They're going to be in the top three for sure. I don't know if they're the number one team to watch. There's another team in that conference that I like a lot. And
OKC's
I think
and I think both the Wolves and Nuggets are, like, half game behind.
Yeah.
The Clippers have fallen off the pace a little bit in the fourth spot.
But, yeah, those three
important question. How's Colin Sexton doing?
Good. He's been pretty good this year. Jazz aren't going to make the playoffs, but
love
he's been.
That.
Yeah, I mean, he's another one of those guys that cares. So,
big
if him and Ant were on the same team,
slap the court.
Yeah, I fucking love Colin Sexton. all right, Berg, are you swollen Colin Sexton?
I fucking wish, but no, I'm going to. Nice, so I kind of want some input on my swallow. Oh, yeah.
Fun fact, Samir is Eskimo Bros with him.
Wow, dude. Are we going to reveal the connection? Everyone loves that.
We should do an Eskimo Bro episode. That'd be awesome.
Are we going to reveal the connection there?
Yeah. And I did not hit it first. I hit it second. And I almost fell in.
Oh, you're Eskimo Bros with Waka Flocka?
We got a couple. Yeah, that's one of them.
This Roni was hard in the motherfucking paint.
Yeah. If anybody would listen to our podcast,
the paint was wide
famous, I'd think it would be Waka. He's a business guy. You know, he's probably just scouring out there for all sorts of information. Like, what little
business guy
thing that tap into.
Flocka spends his time flipping between
if you Google Waka Flocka, you just Waka Flocka, businessman. He's not even a rapper, just businessman.
He's a businessman now. I swear.
He's a businessman.
I see him on podcasts talking about just taxes. He's like those things you see where it's like
just like his accountant, like he just did that once and he was like, man, I'm gonna talk about this on the Shade Room.
He talks about it now. but my, so I want some input on my
yeah, what's your swallow?
Because it's kind of a swallow and spit simultaneously. You'll get it when once I say it. The new James Bond actor was released. Ooh. You know, potentially, I'm pretty sure it's all but confirmed now. It's going to be Aaron Taylor Johnson. I know him from Bullet Train. You know, he had a good cameo, performance with Paperboy out there. I thought he was pretty good. I see him as a James Bond, so I'm going to swallow that. You know, I can see him being pretty suave, pretty fun. But at the same time, here's my spit with that. It should have been Idris Elba. I love that. I get where you're coming from, but people said the same thing about Daniel Craig. And I think he ages well. I don't know how else to say it. I think he just would age well. So, that's what I wanted to talk about. You know, open the floor. How do you guys feel about an Aaron Taylor Johnson being the next James Bond? Was there anybody else you would have liked to see more?
I think he's got a lot of swag, a lot of charisma. As long as he doesn't get into, like, you know, going on podcasts and trying to be an accountant, I'm good.
Why would he do that? What are you talking about?
Why would Waka do that? I'm still pissed.
Why are we? No, that's not what we're talking about.
No, I like it. I think he's got the. I was gonna ask Ralph this, but I need to. The only movie I've seen him in is Bullet Train, and I liked him. I think he's got the potential. Give him a shot. Give him the rock. Let's see what he does with it. It's a tough act to follow. He's got the look. He's got to get into character a little bit for James Bond and be a man of few words and be that suave kind of figure. Very tough act to follow. I loved him as James Bond. I don't know. Yes, it's funny you say Idris being too old, because I think he's a little bit too young. But we'll see where it goes. I think he'll do well with it. I think Idris would have been awesome. But then again, I mean, yeah, as I think that's the first ever Black James Bond, which would be awesome. It might be a little bit of overkill because they're kind of, you know, everything's, I mean, not that I'm against it, I love it, but. I don't know if his name could really be James Bond. Yeah. I think it might have to be, maybe Jamal Bond. That's just awful. I can't believe you said that.
He's 51.
So
I think he could still Daniel start Craig pumping it out at 51.
Became James Bond when he was 37. That was the first one that came out in 2005. Okay. Aaron Taylor Johnson right now is 33. You guys have seen him before. You guys saw him in Kick-Ass. If you remember that movie with our girl Chloe Grace Moretz, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, McLovin, he is Kick-Ass in it. Like, he's the main character in it. He's also going to be in a Marvel film about a villain, Kraven the Hunter, coming out later this year, which is supposed to be like some kind of dark Marvel movie. And then he was also in Tenet as well as one of the kind of bad guys in Tenet.
You're right. Okay, cool.
I'll say Daniel Craig was a very, very serious portrayal of James Bond.
He's so good.
I watched Goldfinger recently, and Sean Connery was in it, and he was very funny and kind of affable in his performance as James Bond. And I thought Aaron Taylor Johnson was very funny in Bullet Train. It turns out Daniel Craig has incredible comedic chops. They just weren't shown.
Knives
in
Out.
James Bond. But I'm hoping that Aaron Taylor Johnson, with his performance in this role, can bring a little bit of that comedy and that shtick back to the performance, and maybe differentiate itself from those previous performances with that are a little bit more serious.
That's a great point.
Because like bad dude.
When you think of like, because like Bond has like gone through so many different iterations. Like Connery is usually the first person that people think of, especially like our parents. And I think Craig is probably second. And then people try to forget what was his Pierce Brosnan. They try to forget that he was him. But
was he not good?
I thought he was loved.
No, those movies are absolutely demolished. But Aaron Taylor Johnson, you asked who else I would have liked to have seen. I think the ideal casting for me, and I don't think he can because he's busy, he has to do other projects, he's already in a franchise, was Pattinson. I would have loved to see Robert Pattinson as this.
Oh, no.
I thought he was so good in Tenet as like the suave Christopher Nolan stand-in. That's a movie I've been desperately wanting to revisit. He's brilliant in that. And then the other guy I thought of, and I'd heard him before, so this is definitely not original, but was Dev Patel. And he just directed his first movie. It comes out, I think, like in a month or 2 months, called Monkey Man.
He put himself through hell for that. You know, like two broken shoulders, broken knee. It sounded like his whole body was broken in the filming.
And he fucking directed it, too.
He was performing.
Yeah, it's like Indian.
Getting into it, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Indian John Wick.
You gotta lead that way.
It's gonna be fucking sick. I'm really excited for it, but I would like to see him as Bond too.
Don't you now? When because Ralph, you would know this because I remember when Daniel Craig signed. Aren't you? Isn't there a retainer clause where like he can't do anything but James Bond for like? I mean, he it's a check. Like he's gonna get paid, but can he do? Can he just not do anything but James Bond for like? I think Daniel Craig. It was like. Six years or something, right? Well, is that a thing?
He was doing other movies, though. I'm like almost positive he released other movies during his time with the Bond.
Is that not a thing at all, Ralph?
Or maybe while filming can't overlap.
So I don't think that he would be able to. It'd be like a Mission Impossible thing. Like he can't appear in Mission Impossible as a villain, so he can't like appear in like competing movies. But he can do like the art house movies, like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, things of that nature.
Oh
like,
yeah,
he was good in that.
But no, you're right. He definitely can't be like Jack Reacher or something.
Yeah.
Like that. You know what I mean?
Which is awesome because then you just have your because as an actor you're just like set like okay for the next 8 years like. Let me pretty much just get into character and just rip the and they pay him. I mean, Daniel Craig got paid. Holy fuck, I forget the number, but yeah, he's gonna. That's gonna be awesome for him. But yeah, maybe give him the rock, see what he does. I think
here's a
be huge for him.
Here's a fun thought exercise. I mean, not fully serious, but just imagine if the Rock was James Bond.
That'd be terrible.
Did the first Bond movie come out 19 years ago with Daniel Craig?
No, like 1960.
No, Daniel Craig's like the most recent one.
But okay, so he started when he was 37. Nine. He's 56 now.
Yeah, I think Casino Royale, that's the first one, right? It came out in 05, 06. Sorry, so yeah, 18 years ago.
That's actually crazy. So that's, so that's fucking almost... Yes, yeah, 20 years in being Bond, years. Almost 15. That's great. And how many Bond movies did Craig do?
Five.
Was it five?
Casino Royale, Spectre, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and the last one.
The last one.
And they were all so good. There wasn't a single miss with him, bro.
No Time to Die.
Dude, I thought they were all so good.
I think he's really good in Knives Out. I love Daniel Craig. And he's married
to funny. He was funny in Knives Out. He was like really funny.
It's the very dramatic actors that are usually pretty funny because the comedy actually comes in not trying to be, you know, funny. Like it's a lot of, you know, if you're really good at drama, that's what my coach always. Yeah, exactly. Because the audience, you need to not be, you know, the audience needs to know something you don't know. So if you're that dramatic, it just works out.
Unless you're Sydney Sweeney. In that case, she just has no comedic timing, but she has great.
They're just boobs. Yeah.
The Craig Bond movies are the most synchronized timeline telling a full story over all the Bond movies compared to any of the previous ones. I mean, some of them had, you know, like recurring characters like Q and M, you know, at, you know, MI6. But in terms of like the bad guys and the bad characters, there was not a lot of crossover. I kind of want them to kind of go back to that formula a little bit here again and just really try and isolate these movies as their own. And I can just walk into the movie theater knowing, you know, forget the last one, forget the next one. I'm here for this one.
You want to see Pussy Galore come back?
That's a good take.
Yeah, bring Pussy Galore back.
What a wild Pussy
too. You know, like a reoccurring villain, though? Like one that, like, you know...
There's a lot of reoccurring villains in a lot of stuff. I do, you know...
Christoph Waltz is recurring these ones.
Okay. Because, like, going back to the Austin Butler thing, I wish Austin Butler crawled away in Dune 2. Because then, you know, in Dune, you're just going to... You got to get him... You know what I'm saying? Is Dune 3, like, you always back. Like, almost with, like, a... yeah, like in Harry Potter, when Malfoy kind of scurries out the back, you're just like, oh, that's going to come up. You know what I'm saying?
I know Malfoy is the first villain that came to mind when Voldemort's literally the greatest villain ever.
Yeah, just skip my mind. It's a tough look. Or the same thing. Or like...
No, I know what you mean, though. Like, Rotha. Yeah, give me more Fade Rotha.
Yeah,
we're on the same page.
The way. Yeah, I did.
We're getting his really twin brother next episode, next movie.
All right, we got to do spits because we just went 30 minutes on Swallow when we said we would go fast.
Just throw it out there. I think I'm good doing my spit and swallow episode. Kind of did both. So take it off to you guys. Cool.
We'll see how much discussion it even really has. It's, you know, that time of the year. It's kind of like fall. You know, you download all your fantasy football apps. It's March. You download your tournament bracket champions, or the fuck ESPN wants to call it, that scumbag of a company.
I love that app.
And you know what? I downloaded it. I was excited to partake.
Update.
They're requiring me to update my iOS to the newest version. It's literally it's a bracket. I'm not solving science problems on this app.
Just update your phone.
You know,
why aren't you updating it?
It's an older phone, and you know, it's a phone that's not probably meant to operate on the newest iOS. That's going to take up half of my battery, it's going to take up another 10 gigabytes of space, which means I'm going to have to delete 10 gigabytes of everything else on there. If this was a more complex app, I'd be in, but you know,
did you update it?
No, I'm out. Wow. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving in.
What about the pop-off bracket?
He's sticking with the browser. He's laptop.
Okay. That's cool.
But ESPN and Apple are in cahoots. There's just simply no reason this app has to run on the newest iOS. They definitely just said, hey, all these people are going to want to download this app that they deleted 9 months ago, 10 months ago.
They got you right where you want.
Get that new iOS while you're at it. Absolute corporate horseshit. Makes me so mad. I'm trying my best to stay calm here because all I want to do is just scream and yell and
say, I actually have a follow-up question.
These people. Yeah,
Does your iPhone have a home button?
No, it does not have a home button. It's an iPhone.
Good question, though.
It's coming up on 5 years old. It works and operates perfectly fine. I mean, if I had downloaded the new iOS, tell me one thing the new iOS did for you. Tell me one thing the newest iOS did for you.
I got the bracket app pretty cleanly, smooth download. You know, I was able to do my bracket on the roll here. I don't got to sit down at the desktop.
All right, fair enough. You got me there.
Turner, this kind of reminds me.
I'm gonna get you a new phone for Christmas.
You know, when there was some construction going on in the Des Moines city of, you know, back when you used to live there, and it was right on some prime real estate, right by the Des Moines River downtown area. It's a big government building.
The corporate courthouse. Federal courthouse.
I was also not happy about it, but Turner was very not happy about it.
Mr. Mark did not like that.
But neither did Running Back Jones. More than me. This is not a me thing.
What, because of traffic?
I'm not afraid to rough it.
It's just a gross thing to look at in the city. They're just putting up a big, very boring, bland federal building. And they already have a courthouse. They're just building another one. No, when you're on the river, they could have put a nice little sports bar, a little hangout area. They could have put something so much better for the public.
Maybe our listeners in Australia don't care about Des Moines infrastructure. All right,
but now they know about it.
Don't care about Neer's fucking, like, who else he's fucked along with other celebrities. So shut the hell up.
That was a 7-second aside.
We got the, and we got the mic and walk out of that.
We like it.
And we got something out of that. All right. Well, okay. On that beefy note, I was going to throw to Cerrone because mine is going to start a little bit of beef, my spit. I'm spitting, quote unquote, the term that people use is college basketball fans. You know, I've got some people in my life. I'm not going to name anybody, and maybe they're on this podcast, but they just stop watching basketball after March Madness ends. And that disgusts me. I can't stand this idea. There's like people that like are talking about a sports calendar and stuff like that. Like, this is the best time of the year.
Disgrace.
I get that, man. I fucking love this time of the year because I love basketball. You're either a basketball fan or you're not. All right. So if you're a basketball fan, basketball keeps going until June. So the people that just like stop watching basketball after this, you're losers. Sorry. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
A lot of NBA basketball, Ralph, but the call is coming from inside the house. The NBA people are the ones that started all this beef between college basketball and NBA basketball. And the dismissive tone you consistently use throughout the year when talking about college basketball and the lesser product it is just absolutely infantile. And I can't stand it. The NBA fans think they're so much better and beyond the college basketball fans. It's off-putting. And it's just disrespectful, and there's just no place for that in the great state, you know, the great sport of basketball. I agree.
Let me counter that.
Unbelievable.
All right, so I just like to watch the best available version of basketball. I like to watch the best players. Like, if I'm at an AAU tournament, right, and we have grades third grade through high school playing in the same gym, I'm going to go watch the high school court. I'm not going to watch the third grade court. And that's not the difference between NBA and college. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm always going to watch the best version of basketball available. So when college basketball and NBA are on the same night and they have the same stakes, regular season games, I'm going to watch the NBA because they have the same stakes to me. All right. Like, you can make the argument that you want. They play less games. I get it. But the playoff race right now in the NBA is tight. So I'm going to watch the Rockets as they try to make the play-in. Like, I'm going to do that instead of watching Northwestern as they try to compete for a Big Ten. Whatever, okay, but they're probably not going to make the tournament.
You're missing out on Boo Booey, man.
Okay, but you're missing out on Amen Thompson and Jalen Green and, like, the absence of Shangoon has elevated the Rockets this year.
I watched him in college, right. Except that Amen person. I don't know who that is.
You didn't watch – okay. You didn't watch Jalen Green in college either. You didn't watch any of those guys they named in college because they didn't go to college. Okay, Shangoon's from Europe.
Shit. Well,
you know what? That's Jalen should have gone to college. NBA guys, they're pro the demise of college basketball, too. They're like, yeah, guess what? They didn't even go to college.
No,
they didn't even play in college. Our star players, they went to the G League Ignite. Shut the fuck up.
That's not what I'm saying. I literally just said it earlier this week. I was like, I miss the days of college basketball when you had the best prospects, John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins on the same team.
What happened that transferred most of the best products to not playing in college basketball? I wonder who had a major hand in that.
Okay, dude. It's not even that many guys that go to the G League Ignite. It's guys that are coming from Europe because the game's a global game now. Like,
but
I don't know,
a lot of the best guys go there. Like, some of the top picks in this draft, I would have loved to see them in college. The way I hear people talk about these players, it's so sad that it's just like they weren't on a Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, or
I'm sad.
Like any other school.
Matthias Bozelis was like one of the top 10 recruits, and he decided to go play for the Ignite instead of Duke. He committed to Duke 2 years ago, and he decided to go to the Ignite instead. You think I'm happy? I don't watch G League Ignite games.
Maybe the NIL money. Maybe the NIL money will bring them, you know, kind of back.
I want to clarify. I know you're a basketball fan through and through, and I'm using you as kind of, you know, the straw man of this greater argument against some of these NBA fans. It's not all directed, you know, at you. It's more at those specific fans. I agree. On the flip side, there are too many college basketball fans that are ready to hang it up once college basketball is over and don't get into the NBA playoffs. I completely agree. I don't understand that side either.
Because a lot of these guys that like they watch in college, it's like, hey, you know what happens? Like, after they do really well in the tournament, they actually go somewhere else and they go to a better league and then they become better players. Like, isn't that cool that these guys mature into 30-year-old – like Jalen Brunson, right? Like, that's a guy who is the 37th pick in the draft. People watch him in college. Like, does anybody even realize, like, those people that he's going to be, like, I mean, on the All-NBA team, that he's leading the Knicks to, like, a level of, like, superstardom that they've literally haven't been at since the 70s? Like, he's better on the Knicks than Carmelo ever was. Like, he's doing amazing things for them. And people are just like, oh, I don't know, like he graduated from Villanova. What's he up to now? Like, fuck you, dude. Like, you just like, that means you like college basketball, and, like the vibes. All right. So like, you're essentially a high school girl.
I don't know. I do think that these two fan bases have continued to alienate each other.
There's a divide with college sports.
NFL football, everybody's like, you know, it's football. We love it. We watch on Saturday. We watch on Sunday.
But I like this time of year. Like, this is higher stakes than what the NBA is doing right now. Like, NBA is still in regular season. College basketball is in postseason. So it just makes sense. I'm going to watch the games with higher stakes. Like, it's just more fun.
I mean, think about it. Like,
you are right, though. Because everybody follows college football players all the way
to the NFL
to where NBA, and it just doesn't happen. That is weird.
I mean, it does happen. Like actual basketball fans, it happens with them. But I know that there's a percentage of people that will literally just like, all right, yeah, it's April 15th. I guess basketball's over. And it's like, no, basketball like, is kind of just starting.
It's almost just started, yeah.
I mean, think about, I mean, I'm not saying that these guys are the end-all, be-all of NBA basketball, but Russillo and Simmons are two of the most popular, you know, voices when it comes to NBA basketball. And when they talk about the college product, they're always so dismissive and basically look down on it and say it's a shit product and doesn't matter and doesn't care. It's just the way it's talked about, it's fucked, you know, and it's not like they're necessarily promoting or building up these products for each other. Like, the game is a little different in the college version, but it's just as beautiful in a different way.
In a different way, I will say that the product for college basketball isn't accepted, I guess, by the masses. I think that a large reason to it is football. Football realignment kind of fucks with a lot of history in college conferences that have gone on. And so you have all these, it's different in football when you jump around. It's just, I don't know what the reason is, this untangible reason, but people don't care. They seem to follow football more, whatever conference you go to. In college basketball, people still talk about the old Big East, the old Big Ten, the old Big 12, and like living the glory days of it. And I think that hurts a lot of fandom, because on the flip side, you hear about people that like don't give a shit anymore, because it's like you just took away 20, 30 years of history with these rival schools here, and now they're not even going to play anymore. Like, something that was really getting us in there and brought a lot of passion. And so, I mean, that's just a flip side. Also, hand up, yeah, I don't watch a lot of NBA at all, so I felt very attacked during this. But I do watch after March Madness.
As you should.
I just don't watch. I focus on college basketball during the NBA season and then switch
over.
That's
not what I'm knocking. I'm not knocking you for choosing college basketball over the NBA in the regular season. That's fine. Like, if you like college basketball better, you like college basketball better. And there's a lot of nights where it's just a better product because, like, these kids, like, they do have less games and they might have a little bit more pride and they might have more energy and all that kind of stuff because they're younger and they're just going to have more energy. But the people that just, like, will not watch, like, I mean, we're going to have so many good fucking series. Like, if you don't watch, like, Bucks Knicks, like, I shouldn't even like have this tone. I should just feel sorry for these people because it's like they're just missing out. Like, I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to see Nuggets Thunder in the second round. That sucks for you.
No, I didn't mean to hijack your spit, Ralph, either. But the last thing I'll say is that the NBA fans' like biggest complaint is that there's like damn near too many points being scored and the game is too open and free-flowing. At this point, we saw some of those, you know, foul referee changes maybe take place after the All-Star break to address some of that. And then on the flip side, you know, we watched these playing games for March Madness where Virginia scored 14 points in the first half and Boise State, Colorado are, you know, in the low 30s, mid 20s for their first half. And it's like the product is very, very different versus where when you watch college football and NFL, like, sure, college football might spread it out a little bit more, but it feels like you're watching, you know, the same sport for all intents and purposes, where I do think there is just this big gap between the two. And one's not right or wrong. It's just they are different.
But those are the extremes. Like, that's Virginia. And Virginia is an extreme. Like, that is their intention, is to slow the game down, but not scoring basketball for 53 real minutes of time. That's gross. And, like, that happens in college football, too. Like, I mean, look at Iowa. Like, the Iowa offense is so fucking bad and has no relation to any NFL offense whatsoever. So I get what you're saying, but like, it's, I don't know, man. It's basketball. I know there are different versions of basketball, but when people say they're a different product, I don't understand that, because the product is an orange ball going through a hoop. and athletes passing it and dribbling it and dunking it. Like, how is it a different product? Like, that doesn't make sense. Basketball and football are different products because they're two different sports. But like, I don't know. I get annoyed by just like, all right, like what season is it then? If it's not basketball season until June, is it baseball season? Because I know motherfuckers aren't watching baseball. Like, you might be going to Wrigley and stuff like that. That's fun. Like, yes. I'm happy for you. But like, what do you do when you get home from Wrigley at 8:30? And like, there's, yeah. I mean, oh my God, it's just, I get frustrated by stupidity, and that's just one of those instances. So,
well, if there's one thing I think I want to call out and appreciate, it's the passion that everybody just spoke with here. There's a lot of passion, and I think that's a beautiful thing in life. So, way to go, everybody.
Swallowing passion.
All right, Mike, what's your spit?
My spit is, let me take a little turn to music. You know, we did a little bit of movies, did a lot of sports. Let's get turned to music. I'm spitting.
Ice Spice again?
No, that's an every week thing. That's just, you know, they just life. Assume that. Listen, I'm a huge, so this is going to be in general, but just as of recent, I was a huge Young Dolph fan, right? You know, we talk about Keelock and Dolph. The past three songs, so I'm spitting after a rapper has passed away, has moved on, you know, from this world. Don't use a random verse or his name to just throw on your song to get clicks, to get plays, to get attention. They did it with Juice. They kind of did it with a little bit with Mac. They did it with Triple X or whatever. And I get so excited when I see my little, New Music Friday or whatever, it spits out a playlist that you think you'd like. And there's a Dolph song on it. And, you know, I get excited because I haven't had new Dolph music in years now. And the past 3 weeks, it's been dog shit. The first one was this techno artist that threw a little Dolph verse on it. It was awful. This week, this Spanish artist, the whole song is in Spanish, and it's like a 5-10 second verse from Dolph. Dude, don't use these rappers who have passed away or died just for the name, for the clicks, to throw a shitty little verse of them that they made probably 10 years ago that you probably got the rights from his mom to put on your song and get me all excited. Don't just let his music not die with him, but let his music be there.
Live on.
Don't use his name. Let it live on. Don't throw these random verses that, you know, were either not released or you got it somehow just to put his name and get me all excited. Again, they did it. It's not just Dolph. That's just the most they did it with Juice. They do it with Juice a lot. Yeah. Like there's a new Juice World song, and I get it too. I know, like, most of Tupac's, there's been more Tupac music released after his death than before. Or maybe that was Biggie.
Why?
But dude, don't do that. It's just been pissing me off for a little bit now, and it's become awful with Dolph. And dude, I still listen to Dolph all the time, Dumb and Dumber, all that stuff. And it's just like, why are you doing that, dude? And especially if it was a banger verse. I have no problem with it. If you record it with him 5 years ago and while he was alive, and it was just because you know how artists are, they got albums and albums just stored away. If it's a great song, put it out. It's awesome. But don't throw a 10-second verse on your techno beat or on your Spanish song. What are we doing? Like, don't do that just out of respect. It's just the product has been awful with this as of late. And it sucks, dude, because now that goes on his library. He's obviously not getting paid on it. But, dude, just fuck off, man. Just make your own shit. Don't try to use clickbait to fucking do all that. It's just – it's been – I hated that recently. I don't know if you guys have seen that or felt that way.
And it gets scarier because it's like now, like, artificial intelligence has gotten to the point where, like, I mean, we talk on a podcast all the time. They can make me say whatever they want, like literally whatever they want. So artists are going to be able to do that with rappers. And it's one thing to sample something and like use Dolph's voice in the background of a beat or something like that. Like, that's paying homage. That's paying respect. That's awesome. That's like, you know, if you want to make like let's say Future has a song on the Metro Project that's dropping tonight when people are listening to this. And like one of the beats is Dolph's voice. Like, that's fucking awesome.
That'd be a banger. Yeah,
all right. Exactly. But, like, that's totally different than just like, All right, I'm an up and coming artist, and I spent $250,000 on a 25-second Dolph verse, and I'm going to put it on an Argentinian beat.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, this especially those choices. Like, I don't think he's ever released. Spanish or EDM. I think Dolph song. Would do that. Just makes no sense.
I'll send you guys the two songs, and it's disgusting.
Don't boost the algorithm,
dude. It pissed me off so much because the first one was so bad, and I got excited yesterday because I saw one come out, and he's the only English speaking rapper on the. And it's like, dude, this is just a spit in his face. It just spit on his grave.
No argument here. I think of like the album Faith by Pop Smoke, as opposed to Human's album. That's just like, God, this guy had it all. And it was the best, and now he's gone, and this just feels like a sham of an album with half-completed songs that are just money grabs.
Yeah,
it's the worst taste in your mouth.
If you're gonna do it, you kind of. I feel like Mac Miller there for that post for that release after. I mean, it was as good as it goes, as good as it can go. You know,
that was a concept album. It was swimming and circles, and like he created that intentionally. It wasn't like. It wasn't like a variety of Mac Miller hits. Like it wasn't that. It was like,
but they still let. Was it Rick Rubin or whoever he was working with? They just let finish up. Yes, they let him finish up everything.
But I think he's alive. Beautiful. Like if one of the YSL members like has like the flash drives for Thugger and his 5,000 songs in his vault. And Jeffrey's on the phone with him from prison, and he's like, "Hey, I need to drop a project. Like, business is business.
Yeah, you gotta release that.
Like, here, I got 15 songs that I want you to, like." And he selects the 15 songs in the track order. That's chill. Like, go for it.
100%
with that.
Yeah,
you gotta 100%. Do it the right way.
Yeah,
exactly. You gotta do it the right way.
And this was an inspiring one. The wrong way. Like, we've been
If one of us passes away, we can't just pump in some AI. You know, you can't just pump in AI Mr. Mark.
But you have permission to go in my TikTok drafts and just rip. And just rip. All the money goes to this pod. The Popcorn Boys have been bringing it the past 3-4. We've had some we haven't missed in a while.
And I think our first heated debate on the Popcorn Boys, so maybe that can inspire more.
I enjoyed that. Got some controversy, some passion.
I'm sorry, Berg. I wasn't coming at you because I know you will watch basketball, but I just don't know if it's I just don't know if it's like an every night thing for you. You know, I'm not sure if you're like it's still basketball season. I feel like you're one of the guys that's like basketball season's over, like after UConn.
Yeah, no, I definitely do go more that route, but it's okay. I'm not holding anything you said in my heart. Like,
but you live in Denver now. Like, you should become a Nuggets fan, and if you become a Nuggets fan, well,
I am a Nuggets fan. I gotta go to a game.
Hey, first pop off meeting. I actually tried to look at tickets because we were talking about getting a suite.
Denver. Yeah.
But the thing is, they have to clinch a berth, and then you can buy the ticket. So I think that's probably pretty close, though. Did they already clinch a berth?
Yeah, they should have probably clinched. They're not going to lose every fucking game.
Yeah. So we can. Yeah, I'm very down for that to get a suite and go to a game.
That sounds awesome. And
meet all you crazy fucks. I feel like I've known my whole life. But I've never even dapped you guys up once.
Damn, this is four non-biological brothers talking.
I've never even touched you. I touched Ralph a lot. In ways you wouldn't imagine. But yeah, dude, I need to touch you guys.
On that note, thank you guys for listening. Everybody enjoy the March Madness this weekend. Best time of the year, man. I'm so excited. It's going to be so much fun.
There's a lot more basketball left.
So much more, like 3 months more of basketball. Wow. Like, it's insane how much more basketball there is.
That was a compromise. That was a beautiful moment right there.
Like, north of like 180 games, I want to say, of basketball between the regular season wrapping up and then going into the playoffs. So, yeah, so much basketball left. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Once again, enjoy the games. We will see you Monday. We'll recap the first 4 days of games.
The Madness. And
can't wait, man. It's going to be so much fun. So, we'll see you on the other side. Peace out.
We don't trust you.
We don't trust you. YouTube week.
What's that?
Hendrix week.
Oh.